This is cassette number 8.
Richard closed his eyes as his head sank with grief for this unknown woman who had died because of him. He clenched her weapon in his fist to his heart. His voice lost its fire. "I don't suppose you know her name." It was this, his empathy for others, even others he didn't know, that not only made him the man he was, but shackled him. His concern for others would also be the thing that eventually brought him to understand the virtue in what she was doing. He, too, would then willingly work for the righteous cause of the Order.
"I do," Nikki said. "Hania."
"Hania." He looked heartsick. "I didn't even know her." "Richard." With a finger under his chin, Nikki gently brought his face up. "I want you to know that I did not torture her. I found her being tortured. I was not happy about what I saw. I killed the man who did it. Hania was beyond any help. I offered her release from her pain, a quick end, if she would tell me about you. I never asked her to betray you in any way that the Order would want. I asked only about your past, about your first captivity. I wanted to understand what you said that first day at the Palace of the Prophets, that's all." Richard didn't look relieved as she had intended. "You withheld that quick release, as you call it, until she had given you what you wanted. That makes you a party to her torture." In the gloom, Nikki looked away in pain and anguish at the memory of that bloody deed. It had long since lost its ability to make her feel anything more than a ghost of emotions. There were so many needing release from their suffering, so many old and sick, so many wailing children, so many destitute and hopeless and poor. This woman had merely been another of life's victims needing release. It was for the best. Nikki had renounced the Creator in order to do his work, and sworn her soul to the Keeper of the Underworld. She had to. Only one as evil as she would fail to feel any fitting feelings, any proper compassion for all the suffering and desperate need. It was grim irony, faithfully serving the needy in such a way. "Perhaps you see it that way, Richard," Nikki said in a hoarse voice as she stared into the numb nightmare of memories. "I did not. Neither did Hania. Before I cut her throat for her, she thanked me for what I was about to do." Richard's eyes offered no mercy. "And why did you make her tell you about me, about Denna?" Nikki snugged her cloak tighter on her shoulders. "Isn't it obvious? You couldn't possibly make the same mistake Denna made. You aren't the woman she was, Nikki." She was tired. The first night he had not slept, she knew. She had felt his eyes on her back. She knew how much he hurt. Turned away from him, she had wept silently at the hate his eyes held, at the burden of being the one to have to do what was best. The world was such an evil place. "Perhaps, Richard," she said in a soft voice, "you will someday teach me the difference." She was so very tired. The night before, when he had succumbed to his weariness and turned away from her to sleep, Nikki had in turn stayed awake all night, watching him in his sound sleep as she felt the connection of magic to the Mother Confessor. The connection brought Nikki great empathy for her as well. It was all for the best. "For now," Nikki said, "let's get inside out of this foul weather. I'm cold and I'm hungry. We need to get some rest, too, and as I've told you, we have things to discuss first." She couldn't lie to him, she knew. She couldn't tell him everything, of course, but she dared not lie to him in the things she did tell him. The dance had begun. Chapter 26. Richard broke up the sausage Nicky gave him from her saddlebag and tossed it in the pot with the simmering rice. The things she had told him kept shouting in his mind as he tried to fit them in their proper order. He didn't know how much of what she had said he dared to believe. He feared it was all true. Nicky just didn't seem to need to lie to him, at least not about what she had told him so far. She didn't seem as hostile as he thought she would have to be. If anything, she seemed melancholy, perhaps because of what she had done, although he had trouble believing that a confessed sister of the dark would suffer a guilty conscience. It was probably just some bizarre part of her act, some artifice directed toward her ends. He stirred the pot of rice with a stick he'd peeled the bark off of. "You said there were things to discuss." He wrapped the stick clean on the edge of the pot. "I assume that means there are orders you wish to issue." Nicky blinked as if he'd caught her thinking about something else. She looked out of place, sitting prim and straight in a wayward pine, dressed as she was in her fine black dress. Richard would never before have ever thought of Nicky out of doors, much less sitting on the ground. The very idea had always seemed ludicrous to him. Her dress constantly made him think of Kaylin, not only because it being so completely opposite that it evoked the comparison, but also because he so vividly recalled Nicky connected to Kaylin by that awful rope of magic. That memory twisted him in agony. "Orders?" Nicky folded her hands in her lap and met his gaze. "Oh, yes, I have a few requests I wish you to honor. First, you may not use your gift. Not at all. Not in any way. Is that clear? Since, as I recall, you have no love of the gift, this should be neither a burden nor a difficult request for you to follow, especially because there is something you do love which would not survive such a betrayal. Do you understand?" Her cold blue eyes conveyed the threat perhaps even better than her words. Richard gave her a single nod, committing himself to what, exactly, he wasn't entirely sure at the moment. He poured her steaming dinner in a shallow wooden bowl and handed it to her along with a spoon. Nicky smiled her thanks. He set the pot on the ground between his legs and took a spoonful of rice, blowing on it until it was cool enough to eat. He watched her from the corner of his eye as she took a dainty taste. Beyond her physical perfection, Nicky had a singularly expressive face. She seemed to go cold and blank when she was unhappy, or when she meant to convey anger, threat, or displeasure. She didn't really scowl the way other people did when they felt those emotions. Rather, a look of cool detachment descended on her. That look was, in its own way, far more disturbing. It was her impenetrable armor. On the other hand, she was expressively animated when she was pleased or thankful. Even more than that, though, such pleasure or gratitude appeared genuine. He remembered her as aloof, and while she still possessed a noble bearing, to some extent her air of reticence had lifted to reveal an innocent delight in any kindness, or even simple courtesy. Richard still had bread Kara had baked for him. He hated sharing that bread with his evil woman, but it now seemed a childish consideration. He tore off a piece and offered it to Nicky. She took it with a reverence due something greater than mere bread. "I also expect you to keep no secrets from me," she said after another bite. "You would not like me to discover you were doing so. Husbands and wives have no need for secrets." Richard supposed not, but they were hardly husband and wife. Rather than say so, he said instead, "You seem to know a lot about how husbands and wives behave." Rather than rising to his bait, she gestured with her bread at her bowl. "This is very good, Richard. Very good indeed." "What is it you want, Nicky? What is the purpose of this absurd pretense?"
The firelight played across her alabaster face and lent her hair a torrid color it didn't in reality possess.
I took you because I need an answer which I believe you will provide.
Richard broke a stout branch in two across his knee.
You said husbands and wives have no need for secrets.
He used half the branch to push the burning wood together before placing the branch atop the fire.
Then aren't wives, too, supposed to be honest?
Of course.
Her hand with the bread lowered. She rested her wrist over her knee.
I will be honest with you, too, Richard.
Then what's the question?
You said you took me because you need an answer you think I can provide. What's the question?
Nicky stared off again, once more looking anything but the grim captor. She looked as if memories, or perhaps fears, haunted her. It was somehow more unsettling than the sneer of an armed guard outside the bars of his cage. The rain outside had increased to a dull roar. They'd made camp just in time. Richard couldn't help but to remember the cozy times he'd had in Wayward Pines, huddled beside Kaylin. At the thought of Kaylin, his heart sank.
I don't know, Nicky finally said. I honestly don't, Richard. I seek something, but I will only know it when I find it. After nearly all my 181 years without knowing it existed, I finally saw the first hint of it not long ago.
She seemed to be looking through him again to some point beyond. Her voice, too, seemed to be addressed to that distant place her vision beheld.
That was when you stood in a collar before all those sisters and defied them. Perhaps I will find the answer when I understand what it was I saw that day in that room. It was not just you, but you were its center.
Her eyes focused once more on his face. She spoke with gentle assurance.
Until then, you will live. I have no intention of harming you. You need fear no torture from me. I'm not like them, that woman Denna, or like the Sisters of the Light, using you for their games.
Don't patronize me. You are using me for your own game, no less than they used me for theirs. She shook her head.
I want you to know, Richard, that I have nothing but respect for you. I probably have more respect for you than any person you have ever met. That's why I took you. You are a rare person, Richard.
I am a war wizard. You've just never seen one of those before. She spurned the notion with a dismissive flick of her hand.
Please don't try to impress me with your power. I'm not in the mood for such silliness.
Richard knew it was no idle boast on her part. She was a sorceress of remarkable ability. He doubted he had any hope of outsmarting her knowledge of magic. She was not acting the way he had expected a sister of the dark would act, though. Richard put his anger, hurt, and heartache aside for the moment, knowing he had to face what was, rather than putting his hope in wishes, and spoke to Nicky in the same gentle fashion she used with him.
I don't understand what it is you want of me, Nicky.
She shrugged in an involuntary gesture of frustration.
Neither do I. Until I do, you will do as I ask, and everything will be fine. I will not harm you.
Considering the circumstances, do you really expect me to take your word?
I am telling you the truth, Richard. If you were to twist your ankle, I would, like a good wife, put my shoulder under your arm and help you to walk. From now on, I am devoted to you and you to me.
He could only blink at how crazy this was. He almost thought she might be mad. Almost. He knew that would be too easy an answer. As Zed always said, nothing was ever easy.
And if I choose not to go along with your wishes?
Again she shrugged.
Then Kaylin dies.
I understand that. But if she dies, then you lose the collar around my heart. She fixed him with the cold blue eyes.
Your point? Then you couldn't get what you wanted from me. You would have no leverage. I don't have what I want now, so I would be losing nothing. Besides, if you were to do that, then Emperor Jigang would welcome your head as a gift. I would no doubt be showered with gifts and riches."
Richard didn't think Nikki wanted gifts or riches showered on her. She was a sister of the dark, after all, and he supposed she could manage to be so showered if she really wished it. Even so, he was sure his head would have a price, and she could salvage that much out of it if he proved ungovernable. She might not care for gifts and riches, but if there was one thing she did want, it had to be power. He was pretty sure she could gain a good measure of that should she slay the enemy of the Imperial Order. He bent over the pot between his legs and went back to his dinner and his dark thoughts. Talking to her was useless. They just went around in circles.
"Richard," she said in a quiet tone, drawing his eyes to her gaze, "you think I'm doing this to hurt you, or to defeat you because you are the enemy of the Order. I am not. I told you my true reasons."
"So, when you finally find this answer you seek in return for my help, then you will let me go?" It was not really meant as a question, but as a trenchant incrimination.
"Go?"
She stared down into her bowl of rice and sausage, stirring it around as if it might reveal a secret. She looked up.
"No, Richard. Then I will kill you."
"I see." He hardly thought that was a way to encourage his cooperation in her search, but he didn't say so. "And Kaelin? After you kill me, I mean?"
"You have my word that if I decide I must kill you, as long as I live, she will too. I have no ill will toward her."
He tried to find solace in that much of it. For some reason he believed Nikki. Knowing that Kaelin would be all right gave him courage. He could endure what was to happen to him if only she would be all right. It was a price he was willing to pay. "So, wife, where are we going? Where is it you're taking me?" Nikki didn't look at him, but instead used her bread to sop up some of her dinner. She considered his question as she nibbled.
"Who are you fighting, Richard? Who is your enemy?"
She took another small bite of her bread. "Jigang. Jigang and his Imperial Order." Like an instructor correcting him, Nikki slowly shook her head.
"No, you are wrong. I think perhaps you are in need of answers, too."
Games. She was playing foolish games with him. Richard ground his teeth but held his temper in check.
"Then who, Nikki? Who or what am I fighting if it is not Jigang? That is what I hope to show you."
She watched his eyes in a way he found unsettling.
"I am going to take you to the old world, to the heart of the Order, to show you what you are fighting, the true nature of what you believe to be your enemy."
Richard frowned. "Why?" Nikki smiled.
"Let's just say it amuses me."
"You mean we're going back to Tanamura? Back to where you lived all that time as a sister?"
"No. We are going to the heart and soul of the old world, Altur-Rang, Jigang's homeland. The name means roughly, the Creator's Chosen."
Richard felt a chill run up his spine. "You expect to take me, Richard Rahl, there, into the heart of enemy territory? I hardly doubt we will be living as husband and wife for long."
"Besides not using your magic, you will not use the name associated with that magic, Rahl, but instead the name you grew up with, Richard Cipher. Without your magic or your name, no one will know that you are anyone but a humble man with his wife. That is exactly what you shall be, what we both shall be."
Richard sighed. "Well, if the enemy should find I'm more, I guess a sister of the dark can exert her influence."
"No, I can't."
Richard's eyes turned up. "What do you mean?"
"I can't use my power."
Gooseflesh prickled his arms. "What?"
"It's devoted to the link with Kaelin to keeping her alive. That is how a maternity spell works. It requires a prodigious amount of power to even establish such a complex spell, much less maintain it. My power must be invested into the labor of preserving the living link. A maternity spell leaves nothing to spare. I doubt I could make a spark. If we have any trouble, you will have to handle it. Of course, I can at any time call upon my ability as a sorceress, but to do so, I would have to draw the power from our link. If I do that, Kaven dies.
Alarm raced through him.
But what if you accidentally... I won't. As long as you take good care of me, Kaelin will be safe enough. If, however, I should fall off my horse and break my neck, her neck snaps too. As long as you take good care of me, you are taking good care of her. That is why it's important that we live as husband and wife, so that you can be close at hand, and so that I can guide and help you too. It will be a difficult life with both of us living without our power, just as any other married couple, but I believe this to be necessary if I am to find what I seek from you. Do you understand?
He wasn't sure he really did, but he said, yes, anyway.
Numb dismay swamped him. He would never have believed this woman would have willingly given up her power for some unspecified knowledge. The very idea of it unleashed cold panic through his veins. Richard couldn't make sense of it. With his mind groping blindly in a world gone insane, he spoke without even considering his words.
I'm already married. I'll not sleep with you as your husband.
Nicky blinked in surprise, then let out a dainty titter, covering it with the back of her hand, not in shyness, but at his presumption. Richard felt his ears heating. That is not the way in which I want you, Richard.
Richard cleared his throat.
Good.
In the quiet of the wayward pine, with the rain outside falling in a gentle patter, and the glowing checkered wood hissing softly, Nicky's focused, intense, resolute expression turned very cold and very still.
But if I should decide I do, Richard, you will comply with that too.
Nicky was a beautiful woman, the kind of woman most any man would eagerly accept. It was hardly that, though, that made him believe her. It was the look in her eyes. Never had the vague possibility of the act of sex seemed so vicious. Her voice lost the conversational quality. It went on in a lifeless drone, a thing not human, pronouncing a sentence on his life, a sentence he himself would enforce, or Kaelin would die.
You will act as my husband. You will provide for us as any husband would. You will care for me and I for you in the sense of worldly needs. I will mend your shirts and cook your meals and wash your clothes. You will provide us with a living.
Nicky's leaden words slammed into him with the deliberate, methodical force of a beating delivered with an iron bar.
You will never see Kaelin again. You must understand that. But as long as you do as I wish, you will know she lives. In that way, you will be able to show your love for her. Every day she wakes, she will know you are keeping her alive. You have no other way to show her your love.
He felt sick at his stomach. He stared off into memories of another place and time.
And if I choose to end it?
The weight of such madness was so crushing that he earnestly considered it. Rather than be your slave?
Then perhaps that is the form the knowledge I seek will take. Maybe that senseless end will be what I must learn.
She brought her first and second fingers together in a snipping motion, simulating the cutting of the umbilical cord of magic that sustained Kaelin's life.
One last evil convulsion to finally confirm the senselessness of existence.
It dawned on Richard that this woman could not be threatened, because she was a creature who, he was beginning to understand, welcomed any terrible outcome.
Of all there is to me in this world, he whispered in dim agony, more to himself and to Kaelin than to his implacable captor, there is only one thing that is irreplaceable. Kaelin. If I must be a slave in order for Kalin to live, then I shall be a slave.
Richard realized Nicky was silently studying his face. He met her gaze briefly, then looked away, unable to bear the terrible scrutiny of her beautiful blue eyes, while he held the image of Kalin's love in his mind.
Whatever you shared with her, whatever happiness, joy, or pleasure will always be yours, Richard.
Nicky seemed almost to be peering inside him, reading the pages of his past written in his mind.
Treasure those memories. They will have to sustain you. You will never see her again, nor she you. That chapter of your life is ended. You both have new lives now. You may as well get used to it, because that is the reality of the situation.
The reality of what was. Not the world as he would wish it. He himself had told Kalin that they must act according to the reality of what was, and not waste their precious lives wishing for things that could not be. Richard ran his fingertips across his forehead as he tried to hold his voice steady.
I hope you don't expect me to learn to be pleased with you.
I am the one, Richard, who expects to learn. Fists at his side, Richard shot to his feet.
And what is it you wish this knowledge for? He demanded in unrestrained, violent bitterness. Why is it so important to you?
As punishment. Richard stared in stunned disbelief.
What?
I wish to hurt, Richard. She smiled distantly. Richard sank back to the ground.
Why?
He whispered. Nicky folded her hands in her lap. Pain, Richard, is all that can reach that cold, dead thing within me that is my life. Pain is the only thing for which I live. He stared numbly at her. He thought about his vision. There was nothing he could do to fight the advance of the Imperial Order. He could think of nothing he could do to fight his fate with this woman. If not for Kalin, he would, at that moment, have thrown himself into a battle with Nicky that would have decided it once and for all. He would have willingly gone to his death fighting this cruel insanity, except his reason denied him that. He had to live so that Kalin would live, for that, and that alone. He had to put one foot in front of the other and march into oblivion.
Chapter 27
Kalin yawned as she rubbed her eyes. Squinting, she arched her back and stretched her sore muscles.
The terrible, desperate memories swooped in from the sleep-darkened corners of her mind, leaving little chance for any other thoughts to long survive. She was beyond the realm of merciless anguish and crying. She had entered the sovereign dominion of unbridled anger. Her fingers found the cold steel scabbard of his sword lying at her side. It felt alive with icy rage. That, the carving of spirit, and her memories were about all she had of him. There wasn't a lot of firewood, but since they wouldn't be needing much more anyway, Kalin put another stick of what was left into the fire. She squatted, holding her hands close over the top of the feeble flames, hoping to bring feeling to her numb fingers. The wind shifted a little. Pungent smoke billowed up into her face, making her cough. The smoke rolled past her face and followed the rock overhang up and out from their shelter. Kara was gone, so Kalin pushed the little pot of water back onto the fire to warm it for tea for when the moored Sith returned. Kara was probably visiting their makeshift privy. Or maybe she was checking the traps they'd set the night before for rabbits. Kalin didn't hold out any real hope that they would catch a rabbit for their breakfast. Not in this weather. They had brought enough provisions in any event. Through slits in the clouds, the crimson light of a cold, crisp dawn penetrated gaps in the snow-crusted limbs of trees to slant in under the rock overhang, casting everything in their little campsite in a blush glow. The two of them had tried without avail to find a wayward pine. The screen of trees, along with a short wall of boughs she and Kara had cut and placed the night before to protect them from the wind, as Richard had taught them to do, shielded the secluded spot. With their improvements, it had proven a fit shelter.
They had been lucky to find it in the driving snow. Outside, the snow was fairly deep, but in the shelter they had had a relatively dry, if cold, night. Kaylin and Kara had huddled together under blankets and their thick wolf fur mantles to keep each other warm. Kaylin wondered where Richard was, and if he was cold, too. She hoped not. Probably, since he had started out a few days sooner, he had been lucky and had made it down to the lowlands already, avoiding the snow. Kara and Kaylin had stayed in their home, as he had asked, for 3 days. Snow had arrived the morning after he left. Kaylin had been tempted to wait for a break in the weather before they started out, but she had learned a bitter lesson from Sister Nikki. Don't wait. Act. When Richard didn't return, Kaylin and Kara had immediately struck out. It was hard going at first. They struggled through the drifts, leading the horses at times, riding them occasionally. They couldn't see very far, and most of the time had to keep the wind from the west at their right shoulder as their only clue as to which direction they faced. It was dangerous traveling over the passes in such conditions. For a time, they feared that they had made a terrible mistake leaving the safety of their house. Through a break in the clouds just before dark the night before, as they were gathering boughs for their shelter, they caught a glimpse of the lower hills. They were green and brown, not white. They would be below the snow line before long. Kaylin was confident that they were through the worst of it. As she stuffed an arm into a sleeve, pulling another shirt on over the top of the two she was wearing, Kaylin heard the crunch of snow underfoot. When she realized it was more than one pair of footsteps, she stood up in a rush. Kara pushed her way through the boughs of the sheltering trees. "We have company," she announced in a grim voice. Kaylin saw that Kara's fist held her ajeel. A bundled-up squat woman came through the trees, following in Kara's footsteps. Under layers of cloaks, garbs, and other dangling corners of thick cloth, Kaylin was surprised to recognize Anne, the old prelate of the Sisters of the Light. Behind Anne came a taller woman, her scars pushed back to reveal graying brown hair loose to her shoulders. She had an intense, steady, calculating gaze that had earned her an enduring network of fine wrinkles radiating out from the corners of her deep-set eyes. Her brow was less steady, twitching down several times toward her prominent nose. She looked like a woman who used a switch to teach children. "Kaylin!" Anne rushed forward, seizing Kaylin's arms. "Oh, my dear, it's so good to see you!" She looked back when Kaylin glanced up behind her. "This is one of my sisters, Alessandra. Alessandra, may I introduce the Mother Confessor and Richard's wife?" The woman stepped forward and smiled. The pleasant grin completely altered her face, instantly erasing the severity of it with open good nature. It was a somewhat disorienting transformation, making her seem like two different people sharing one face. Or, Kaylin thought, perhaps one person with two faces. "Mother Confessor, it's so good to meet you. Anne has told me all about you, and what a wonderful person you are." Her eyes took in the campsite with a quick glance. "I'm so happy for you and Richard." Anne's eyes turned left and right, searching. Her gaze snagged on the sword. "Where's Richard?" Kara wouldn't say a word. She looked up into Kaylin's eyes. "Dear Creator," she whispered, "what's wrong? What's happened? Where's Richard?" Kaylin finally managed to unclench her teeth. "One of your sisters took him." Anne pushed her scarves back off her gray hair and took hold of Kaylin's arm again. The top of Anne's head came up only to Kaylin's chest, but she looked at least twice as wide. "What are you talking about? What do you mean a sister took him? Which sister?"
"Nikki," Kaylin growled.
Anne pulled back.
"Nikki?"
Sister Alessandra gasped. "Sister Nikki?" She crossed both hands over her heart.
"Sister Nikki isn't one of Anne's. Nikki is a sister of the dark."
"Oh, I'm well aware of that," Kaylin said.
We have to get him back, Anne said. At once. He's not safe with her.
Oh, there's no telling what Nicky might. Sister Alessandra's mouth snapped shut.
The wind carried a sparkling gust into their faces, momentarily whiting out the red dawn. Kaylin blinked the snow away. Kara, in her red leather, with both a cloak and her heavy fur mantle over top, ignored it. The other two women brushed their heavy woolen mittens across their eyes.
Kaylin, everything will be all right, Anne said in a reassuring voice. Tell us now what's happened. Tell us everything. Is he hurt?
Kaylin swallowed against her rising rage.
Nicky used what she called a maternity spell on me.
Anne's mouth fell open. Sister Alessandra gasped again.
Are you sure? Anne asked in a careful tone. Are you sure that was what it was? How do you know for sure?
She slammed some kind of magic into me. I've never heard of such a spell. All I know is that it was definitely powerful magic, and she said it was called a maternity spell. She said that it connects us somehow through that magic.
Alessandra took a step forward.
That doesn't make it a maternity spell.
When Kara used her Ajeel on Nicky, Kaylin said, it dropped me to my knees just the same as if Kara had used the Ajeel on me.
Anne and Alessandra shared a silent look.
But if she were to...
Anne stammered. Kaylin voiced what Anne was trying to say without saying it.
If she were to desire it, Nicky could snip that cord of magic and I would die. That was the means by which she captured Richard. She promised I would live if Richard went with her.
Richard surrendered himself into slavery to save my life.
It can't be,
Anne said, touching mitten-covered fingers to her chin.
Nicky wouldn't know how to use such an unusual spell. She's too young. Besides, such a rare spell requires great power. She must have done something else and just said that it was a maternity spell. Nicky couldn't do a maternity spell.
Yes, she could, Sister Alessandra said in reluctant disagreement. She has the power and ability. It would only have required someone with the specialized knowledge teaching her. Nicky doesn't have any great passion for magic, but she is as able as they come.
Lydmilla,
Anne whispered to Alessandra in sudden realization.
Jagang has Lydmilla.
Kaylin turned a suspicious glare on Sister Alessandra.
And how do you know so much more about Nicky's ability than the prelate herself?
Sister Alessandra gathered her open cloak back together. Her face lost its warmth and reverted to a scowl, this time, though, with bitterness in the set of her mouth.
I brought Nicky into the Palace of the Prophets when she was but a child. I was responsible for her upbringing, and I guided her training in the use of her gift. I know her better than anyone. I know her darker powers, because I, too, was a sister of the dark. I am the one who brought her to the Keeper.
Kaylin could feel herself rocking with the force of her hammering heart.
So you, too, are a sister of the dark.
Was, Anne said, lifting a cautionary hand before Kaylin.
The prelate came into Jagang's camp and rescued me. Not just from Jagang, but from the Keeper, too. I once again served the light.
The incandescent smile again transformed Alessandra's face.
Anne brought me back to the Creator.
As far as Kaylin was concerned, the claim was not worth the effort of confirmation.
How did you find us?
Anne ignored the terse question.
We must hurry. We must get Richard away from Nicky before she delivers him to Jagang.
Kaylin kept her glare on Alessandra while she answered Anne.
She isn't taking him to Jagang. She said she isn't acting on behalf of His Excellency, but on behalf of herself. Those were her words. She said she had removed Jagang's ring from her lip and that she wasn't afraid of him.
Did she say why, then, she was taking Richard? Anne asked.
Or at least where?
Kaylin moved her scrutiny back to Anne. She said she was taking him into oblivion.
Oblivion?
Anne gasped.
I asked you a question, Kaylin said, anger seeping into her voice. How did you find us?
Anne tapped her waist.
I have a journey book. I used it to communicate with Verna back with our forces. Verna told me about the messengers coming to see you. That's how I knew where to find you. Lucky I came as soon as I did. We nearly missed you. I can't tell you how happy I am to see you have recovered, Kaylin. We were so worried.
Kaylin saw that Kara, standing behind the two women, still had her Agile clenched in her fist. Kaylin didn't need an Agile. Her confessor's power boiled but an impulse away. She wouldn't again make an error for the sake of caution.
The journey book.
Of course.
Then Verna would have told you about Richard's vision that he must not lead our troops against the Order.
Anne nodded reluctantly, apparently not eager to discuss such a vision.
Then, a few days ago, Verna sent a message when we were almost here that the Daharans are in quite a state because they suddenly lost their sense of direction to Richard. She said they are still protected from the Dreamwalker by the bond to their Lord Rahl, but they suddenly lost their sense of where he is.
Nicky cloaked his bond from us, Kara said in a growl.
Well, we have to find him, Anne said. We have to get him away from Nicky. He's our only chance. Whatever he's thinking, it's nonsense, and we will have to set him straight. But first, we must get him back. He has to lead our forces against the Imperial Order. He is the one named in prophecy.
That's why you're here, Kaylin whispered to herself. You heard from Verna about his declining to lead the army or even to give orders. You journeyed here in hopes of forcing him to fight.
He must, Anne insisted.
He must not, Kaylin said. He has come to realize that if he leads us into battle, we will lose the cause of liberty for generations to come. He said he came to realize that people don't yet understand freedom and won't fight for it.
He simply must prove himself to the people, Anne's scowl reddened. He must prove himself their leader, which he has already begun to do, and they will follow him.
Richard says that he has come to understand that it is not he who must prove himself to the people, but the people must now prove themselves to him.
Anne blinked in astonishment. Why, that's nonsense!
Is it?
Of course it is! The boy was named in prophecy centuries ago. I've been waiting hundreds of years for him to be born in order for him to lead us in this struggle.
Really? Then who are you to try to countermand Richard's decision, if you are so set on following him?
He has come to his decision. If he is the leader you want, then you must abide by his lead, and therefore his decision.
But this is not what prophecy demands.
Richard doesn't believe in prophecy. He believes we make our own destiny. I'm coming to see the grounds of his assertion that the belief in prophecy artificially alters events. It is the misplaced faith in prophecy itself, in some mystical outcome, that harms people's lives.
Anne's eyes grew round with dismay and then narrowed. Richard is the one named in prophecy to lead us against the Imperial Order. This is a struggle for the very existence of magic in this world. Don't you understand that? Richard was born to fight this fight. We have to get him back.
This is all your fault, Kaylin whispered.
What?
Anne's frown changed to a tolerant smile.
Kaylin, what are you talking about?
Her voice backslid to genial. You know me? You know our struggle for the survival of freedom of magic? If Richard does not lead us, we have no chance.
Kaylin threw her arm out and seized a startled Sister Alessandra by the throat.
The woman's eyes went wide.
Don't move,
Kaylin said through gritted teeth, or I will unleash my confessor's power.
Anne held her hands up, imploring. Kaylin, have you lost your mind? Let her be. Calm down.
With her other hand, Kaylin pointed down at the fire.
The journey book. Throw it in the fire.
What? I'm not going to do any such thing.
Now, Kaylin said through her clenched teeth, or Sister Alessandra will be mine. When I finish with her, Kara will see to it you throw that journey book in the fire if you have to do so with broken fingers. Anne glanced at the moored Sith towering over her shoulder.
"Kalen, I know you're upset, and I completely understand, but we're on the same side in this. We love Richard, too. We, too, wish to stop the Imperial Order from taking the whole world. We? If it wasn't for you and your sisters, none of this would be happening. This is all your fault, not your gang's fault, not the Imperial Order's fault, but yours. Have you lost your...
You alone bear responsibility for what is befalling the world. Just as Jagang has his ring through the lip of his slaves, you've had yours through the nose of yours, Richard. You alone bear responsibility for the lives already lost, and those yet to be lost in bloody slaughters that will sweep across the land. You, not Jagang, are the one who has brought it.
Despite the cold, beads of sweat dotted Anne's brow.
What in the name of creation are you talking about? Kalen, you know me. I was at your wedding. I have always been on your side. I have only followed the prophecies to help people.
You create the prophecies. Without your help, they would not have come to pass. They only come about because you have fulfilled them. You pull the ring through Richard's nose.
Anne presented a face of calm to the storm of Kalen's rage.
Kalen, I can only imagine how you must feel, but now you are truly losing all sense of reason.
Am I?
Am I, prelate?
Why does Sister Nikki have my husband? Answer me, why?
Anne's expression drew tight in a darkening glower.
Because she is evil.
No.
Kalen's grip tightened on Alessandra's throat.
It's because of you. Had you not sent Verna into the new world in the first place, ordering her to take Richard back across the barrier into the old world?
But the prophecies say the Order will rise up to take the world and extinguish magic if we fail to stop them. The prophecies say Richard is the only one to lead us, that Richard is the only one with a chance.
And you brought that dead prophecy to life all by yourself. All because of your faith in bloodless words rather than your own reasoned choices. You're here today not to back the choices of your proclaimed leader, not to reason with him, but to enforce prophecy upon him, to give that ring a tug. Had you not sent Verna to recover Richard, what would have happened, prelate?
Why, the Order...
The Order? The Order would still be trapped back in the old world behind the barrier, wouldn't they? For 3,000 years that wizard-created barrier has stood invincible against the pressure of the Order, or those like them, and their wish to swarm up here into the new world, bent on conquest, because you had Richard captured, against his will, and ordered him brought back to the old world, all in slavish homage to dead words in dusty old books. He was forced to destroy the barrier, and thus the Order now can flood into the new world, into the Midlands, my Midlands, slaughtering my people, taking my husband, all because of you and your meddling. Without you, none of this would be happening. No war, no mounds of butchered people in cities of the new world, no thousands of dead men, women, and children slaughtered at the hands of Imperial Order thugs. None of it. Because of you and your precious prophecies, the veil was breached and a plague was unleashed on the world. It would never have happened without your actions to save us all from prophecy. I don't even dare to recall all the children I saw suffering and dying from the Black Death because of you. Children who looked up into my eyes and asked if they would be all right, and I had to say yes when I knew they would not survive the night. No one will ever know the tally of the dead. No one is left to remember all the small places wiped out of existence by that plague. Without your meddling, those children would be alive. Their mothers would be smiling to themselves as they watched them play. Their fathers would be teaching them the ways of the world, a world denied them by you, for the sake of your faith in prophecy. You say this is a battle for the very existence of magic in this world, yet your work to fulfill prophecy may have already doomed magic. Without your intervention, the chimes would never have come to be loosed upon the world.
This is the end of Side 1. This program is continued on Side 2 of this cassette.